We're glad to bring you this message from Timeless Truths Radio Ministry with Pastor Jerry Burns. We trust that you'll be blessed as you apply these timeless truths to your daily life.
People live their life and people act a certain way because of what they believe. Atheists don't want to be accountable to God. And so they say, well, I don't believe that there's a God. Therefore, I'm not accountable to him. Life's not like that. You can push away responsibility, but at the end of the day, you're still accountable. Pastor Jerry Burns, thank you so much for joining us for Timeless Truths Radio Ministry. It is a wonderful, wonderful day to be able to be on the air and to publish and to present the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 is where we're going to be. If you have your Bible handy, grab it and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. It's my desire that you see from the Bible, the truths that we're looking at, these timeless truths to help you in your life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. The Bible says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Over the last couple of Sunday mornings on Timeless Truths, we've been looking at fundamental doctrines. We've been focusing our attention on the faith. And the Bible teaches us that this faith was once delivered unto the saints, Jude 3. You see, what we believe changes our behavior. Behavior flows from our beliefs. When I was a child, I would play a lot of baseball. And when I played baseball, I would hit the ball and I would run to first base or second base. And when someone else was at bat and they hit the ball, I would watch that ball and I believed that that ball was going to hit the ground, or I believed that I was going to make it to the next base, or I wouldn't have run. And she caught it, then I would be out. If I ran and they threw the ball and I was wrong, I didn't make it, then I would be out. But what I'm trying to say is that I acted, or my actions flowed from my beliefs. People live their life and people act a certain way because of what they believe. Atheists don't want to be accountable to God. And so they say, well, I don't believe that there's a God. Therefore, I'm not accountable to him. Life's not like that. You can push away responsibility, but at the end of the day, you're still accountable. As Christians, there ought to be a change in how we live our life because of what we believe. Our faith ought to change our life. Luke chapter 17, verse 5, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. In Mark chapter 9, verse 24, the man that needed deliverance from a demon said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus and encourages this church to grow in their faith. He uses this word, the word measure, three times in chapter 4, measure. Paul did not want them to be childlike Christians. He writes in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, the Apostle Paul wanted Christians, these Christians, to grow, to be mature, to find spiritual growth. And as I read the Bible, I am assured that God's will for our life is that we grow. I want us to notice three truths this morning on Timeless Truths, three timeless truths about spiritual growth. Number one, let's think about the measure of spiritual growth. Now, we know how to measure ourselves physically. We can measure our height by using a tape measure. We can measure our weight. I don't know if we want to do that, but we can measure our weight by a scale. And so we can measure our physical growth. But what about our spiritual growth? How do we measure ourselves spiritually? Well, Ephesians chapter 4 gives us ways to measure ourselves. First of all, it says we ought to be like the Lord Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The common measure of Christians is to measure themselves with other Christians. They'll say, well, I'm not that bad. You know, that's why reality TV is so popular, because people like to look at other people's lives and say, hey, they're a mess. I'm not that bad. I mean, they got some family issues, but wow, I'm glad I'm not that bad. And we like to measure ourselves with other people. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. The idea to commend themselves, they are always patting themselves on the back. Well, I can do this. My child can do that. I have this. I have that. Be careful of setting yourself up as a standard, of placing yourself on a pedestal as the standard of anything. You know, kind of look at me, look what I've done, look how I live my life. Charles Spurgeon said, the higher a man is in grace, the lower he will be in his own estimation. Not because he is comparing himself with other people, but he is comparing himself with the Lord God. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What is the gap between who I am and who Christ is? What is the gap in my spiritual maturity as I compare myself, not with my neighbor or not with my Christian friend, but with the Lord Jesus? So how do we measure ourselves spiritually? Well, our likeness to the person of Christ. Letter B, are living with the preeminence of Christ. The Bible says in verse 15 of our text, Ephesians 4, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Colossians 1 verse 18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things Jesus might have the preeminence to be first in rank or influence, the chief in importance. Preeminence, readily noticeable. Preeminence, to be readily noticeable. Being in the center in which all things resolve. A measure of maturity. It's Pastor Burns here, and I wanted to take a moment and invite you to partner with us in taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the city. You can invite your friends and family members to check out KitchenerHope.com. That's KitchenerHope.com, and watch our video. We also encourage you to pray for our ministry as we pray for you. And if you're able to support us financially, this would ensure that we stay on the air and continue to preach the gospel to the Waterloo region. We're going to continue our message in just one moment, but first, here's a message from our RU Recovery program.
Weekends can make for strong beginnings, especially when you start each week with RU Recovery. They meet at Kitchener Baptist Church every Friday night at 7. Whatever you're struggling with, drugs, alcohol, pornography, tobacco, or any other behavioral problems like anger or depression, believe me, RU Recovery offers the help you need. Plus, you'll make some great new friends who understand what you're going through. And RU Recovery is open to people from all walks of life, any faith or no faith. Anybody who is just seeking to find something that works. I'm telling you, if you live better, you'll feel better. So why not make this your weekend for strong beginnings with RU Recovery? RU Recovery meets at Kitchener Baptist Church, 1720 Glasgow Street, every Friday night at 7 p.m. For more information, go to rurecovery.org or call 226-336-7680. That is rurecovery.org, 226-336-7680.
To be first in rank or influence, the chief in importance. Preeminence, readily noticeable. Preeminence, to be readily noticeable. Being in the center in which all things resolve. A measure of maturity, a measure of growth in the life of a Christian is that Jesus has first place in my life. What does Christ need to do? Or what does Christ need to be in charge of in your life? What do you need to give the Lord control of? What does he need to have preeminence in? Oftentimes, our attitude is, Lord, you can have all these areas in my life, but this area here, well, that's for me. That's my life. That's my doing. That's what I want to do. The Bible says that the maturity level, the measure of a mature Christian, is our likeness to the person of Christ and our living with the preeminence of Christ. Number two, the means of spiritual growth. Not only the measurement, but let's think about for a moment the means of spiritual growth. There is always room for spiritual growth in your life. You should never stop learning. You should never stop growing. Spiritual leaders help us to grow. The Bible says in our text, Ephesians 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the perfecting of the saints. It means to develop someone or something or to bring someone into maturity. In the New Testament, the word perfect does not mean sinless perfection. It means fully developed, a mature Christian. 1 John gives us three levels of believers, children, young man, and father. A child is just someone who's newly saved, a baby Christian is someone who's newly saved. A child is someone who's not, is immature in their faith. A young man is someone who's progressing, who's growing, who's strong in the Lord, who's an overcomer in Christ. And a father is someone who is developing other people. The Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. We see that as Christians, spiritual leaders help us to grow. But also we want to be sharpened by Christian relationships for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:16, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by the which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. A healthy church does not tear down. A healthy church builds up. A healthy church is not a church that is involved in destroying but constructing lives, growth, edifying of itself in love. Each one building each other up. The proverb that helps us to understand this principle is Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know, the reality is that we want to be a help and a blessing. We want to be an encouragement to other people to help them to get to a place of maturity. We don't want to tear people down. We want to be a help to them. You know, there are two important factors to bring someone to maturity. Someone said the books you read or the company that you keep. I think today in the age of the internet, the websites, the YouTube videos, the influence that we have, and the friends that we keep is going to affect our relationship with God. They're going to build us up or they're going to tear us down. That's why the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesimus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. You know, God help us today to be a help to people. God help us today to encourage people to walk for God. God help us today to be the type of Christian that when people are around you, they're encouraged. There's some people that are so depressing. I mean, you go, they're so negative that if you're around them for any time, you just feel terrible. You feel defeated. And that's kind of the attitude that they put forth, is a defeated attitude. Listen, I want you to be a Christian that is uplifting. I want you to be a Christian that brings people to a place of maturity in their life, that you exhort people, that you build them up, that you're positive. This is the type of Christian God wants you to be. He wants you to be someone who is a part of the construction crew, not the demolishing crew. He wants you to be a part of the construction crew, not the tear down crew. He wants you to be encouraging. Let me say this. A scriptural diet helps us to grow. The Bible compares the Word of God with food. And food is the nourishment that we need to grow and to be refreshed. Jeremiah 15:7 says he ate the words of God. David said he would rather, he prefer the sweetness of God's word over honey. Psalm 19:10. Peter says to desire the Bible like a baby desires milk. The author of Hebrews describes the Bible as strong meat. And so we need to have the Word of God in our life. A scriptural diet is going to bring us to a place of maturity. Marks of spiritual growth. Marks of spiritual growth. Number three, what does a growing Christian look like? How can you identify someone who is increasing toward the measure of Christ's image? Here's marks of spiritual growth. Number one, service in their church. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The Bible does not say that the church has been given spiritual leaders for the work of the ministry. It is true that spiritual leaders do the work of the ministry, but Ephesians 4 tells us that by perfecting the saints, they do the work of the ministry. Do you understand the difference there? The difference is that a Christian is supposed to be a mature Christian and to get involved in helping other Christians become mature Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. But all these worketh that one, that self-same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The reality is that a mark of spiritual growth is service in your local church, to serve the Lord, to bring other people to spiritual maturity, but also stability in their walk. The Bible says in our text, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. You know, a sure sign of maturity is when Christians are emotionally stable. A sure sign of immaturity is when Christians are emotionally unstable. They are on top of the world one minute, in the depths of despair the next. They are excited to be saved one minute. You can't tell they are the next. James said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 says, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. False teachers, false prophets, they're going to go after unstable souls. They're going to go after those who are not spiritually mature. And when we talk about Christians who are stable, we're talking about Christians who are spiritually mature. The Bible talks about Peter, James, and John. They were pillars in the local church. Why were they pillars? They were pillars because they served. They were pillars because they were stable. And this is important for us to understand that God wants us to be pillars. God wants us to take a stand. So God wants us to be spiritually mature. We need to have soundness in our doctrine. The Bible says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Since the first century, the church has always had problems with false doctrine and false prophets. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, the Bible says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. False teachers are everywhere in our world, and not only in the church, but they're also on the internet. They're also on the television. And the sign of spiritual maturity is to know what the Bible says and to take a stand and to not be driven and carried away with every doctrine that's out there in our world today, but to know, hey, listen, this is what the Word of God says. This is where I stand. This is how I live my life. This is what I believe. That's a sign of spiritual maturity. also their sincerity in their communication. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speak the truth. You do not help people by lying to them. You need to be sincere and honest. You know, the Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Truth is so important. Speaking the truth, but we need to speak it in love. Love is the foundation in which Christians deal with each other. We are to speak the truth in love. We are to speak the truth in love, seasoned with grace. This is what the Bible says about being a Christian who is mature. So stop right now and think about this. With everything the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 4, would you be a Christian who is spiritually mature? According to what the Bible says, are you a mature Christian? God wants you to be a mature Christian. God wants you to abound in love and faith and thanksgiving. God wants you to be helping other people to be mature Christians. This is God's plan for His church.
Thank you for tuning into our program today. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that preaches the Word of God. For more information about our ministries and how we can be a blessing to you, visit timelesstruthsradio.com. Our radio program is available because of the faithful prayers and financial support from listeners like you. You can support our ministry by sending a financial gift to Timeless Truths Radio Ministry at 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. That's Timeless Truths Radio Ministry at 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. To learn more about how you can help this ministry, visit our website at timelesstruthsradio.com. Do you know the Jesus we talked about in this program? You can know abundant eternal life through Jesus Christ right now. Say yes to Jesus today. Ask Him to save you. Fully trust in Him. Learn more about Jesus and how you can have eternal life through Him by watching our video at KitchenerHope.com. Hey Christian, have you ever wanted to read the Bible through in 1 year? We have an easy-to-follow Bible reading schedule that will help you succeed. You can visit TimelessTruthsRadio.com to learn more. Thank you again for joining us this Sunday morning. Join us next week when we open our Bibles and study God's timeless truths.